Welcome to Oikast. I hear green.
The podcast presented by Oikos Vienna.
Welcome everybody. This is Malena from Oikos Vienna and you're listening to Oikast, I hear green. For many people nowadays, marketing is a negatively associated term. One may think of big corporations aiming at manipulating consumers to sell more unnecessary things to them at the expense of the environment. However, that is not the whole truth. Today, I'm here with Jan Valendin from the Marketing Institute at VU Vienna to discuss the role of marketing in reducing climate change. Hello, Jan.
I come from Czech originally, and I have been at VU since 2018. So I just now I'm finishing my PhD, and so for the last 4 years I've been doing research in customer behavior and teaching a couple of courses at the Institute of Marketing, namely some machine learning courses, and then a course that we will probably discuss later, which is about the intersection of marketing and the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm. So you actually have a background in computer science and informatics also, together with marketing, of course. How did you get into the field of climate change? Was there a specific trigger for you personally?
Yeah, so it's been quite a journey to get here. So I am now 39 years old, and I have never really been that concerned with the environment. Not that I wouldn't be interested, but I guess I had a similar experience to what many people have, which is kind of relying on other people to take care of it, right? So I was, like you said, I studied computer science, and then later I was working as a software developer. I also spent a lot of time doing music, and so I had lots of other interests, and the climate just seemed like something that, you know, other people are taking care of, and you know, I could just kind of leave it to them. But what happened, I think it was 2019, probably in spring. This was already after Fridays for Future started, and Greta Thunberg was in the news. Yeah, and I remember, yeah, it wasn't like it didn't come out of nowhere. So, for example, my sister, she's quite engaged with the environment and so on. So it wasn't like I wasn't completely aware, but yeah, there was something about seeing children at these protests, or just, you know, very young people, that made me curious about what was really happening. And I found the way that Greta communicated her views quite compelling personally, because she has this kind of black and white way of seeing things, and that struck me as very different from what you would normally hear, right? So normally you hear this kind of political talk, unless you're speaking with some, you know, activist directly, which I haven't really before, right? But in the media, most of the conversations that we have about the environment in the past, I felt were very political. And yeah, Greta is not political. She's very like direct and matter of fact. So I saw her TED talk, which I think I've played also in the course that I've been teaching, mm-hmm. later. And I was already at VU, and I realized that none of my colleagues in the institute, we're a small institute, there's about 10 people working there. But I realized that there wasn't really anything that we were doing regarding the climate crisis. So that's where I started kind of asking myself this question, what it is that we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning of this whole project.
I totally agree with you. I think Greta Thunberg is such an inspiring person, and also the way she communicates climate change is totally different from most other people. It's very direct, but also motivating in a sense. So I love the way she frames that usually. After this, like, somehow awakening, what were the first changes that you made?
So I knew that. Yeah, we are teachers, right? At the Institute, we are researchers and teachers. So obvious, the obvious answer was that we should see if we could teach something, if we could put a class together. So originally, actually, I asked all my colleagues to kind of join me and put something together. So the first time we did this course about marketing and the climate, I basically asked all of them to, I think there was five or six of us, to prepare a talk on any topic which is relevant to the environment, right? And it was quite a lot of fun. We actually, I managed to get some guest speakers as well, because we didn't have a curriculum, right? We didn't have a syllabus, so we were putting everything together very quickly. So I was happy I was able to get a few guest speakers that, you know, brought more material. One of them was Professor Stagel, who's very much an expert on this entire sustainable development goals problematic and so on. The other person was Professor Gugler, who is from the economic side. And him and a couple of other researchers at BEU did some great research around the issue of carbon pricing. So when we started the course, I fairly quickly kind of zoomed in on this issue of the carbon price. And in the first couple of semesters, we were working towards how we could make this idea more popular, right? So yeah, I guess without any real background in economics, it seemed to me like a very kind of plausible way of reaching some sort of, you know, massive greenhouse gas reduction if we just make it expensive for everyone to create carbon dioxide or methane. So we got together with a group of activists from Italy, group called StopGlobalWarming.eu, who were collecting signatures to lobby the European Commission to introduce carbon pricing legislation, or rather introduce a much more stricter version than what we have today. So yeah, for the first few semesters, we were working with them, basically trying to get signatures, right? So this is where, I guess, marketing has a clear role from my perspective, is, you know, this way of disseminating ideas or trying to push them out into the real world.
So it's been a few semesters now that you have been teaching this course. I've done it myself a year ago, and I've really loved it. It was so interesting. I can definitely recommend it. What are your main goals at the moment with the course?
So the course has ended. I have been, because of the fact that there's less students for the next semester, actually the Institute had to cut some courses. And because I am kind of the perfect candidate, because I will be leaving BEU at some point early next year, we decided that this course is going to be scrapped. So at this moment, there is no specific plan, but this might change as I figure out what to do next with my career. But I guess the best answer I can give is that this course was in a kind of selfish way a vehicle for me to kind of figure out what needs to be done, and by studying and teaching myself, I think I was able to kind of get a fairly broad perspective on what the issues around climate actually are. And as I, with each semester, I was able to change the course, change the syllabus, add more and more things. So in this final iteration that just ended last week, we were really able to look at a number of very diverse topics that relate to the crisis from psychology to marketing, history, politics, ideology. But really, what the core issue for me is now is economics, and really the structure of the system that we have, that we call capitalism. So that's kind of where I ended, where my main focus is now, I guess, going forward as well.
Mm-hmm. So after diving so deep in all of the topics related to climate change, what would you say were your biggest learnings for yourself? Are there any big revelations?
Yeah, I think there was a number of them, but to keep this short, I think the main takeaway for me is the fact that really the economic system that we have is not set up to deal with the crisis. And that's a fairly simple way of saying it, but it's also, I guess, the great tragedy that we have, right? So I really have no big hopes for something like, what people call green capitalism, or, that we could just, replace all the products with some sustainable versions, or make sure to change all the energy to to renewable and so on. Like, I do not think this would be enough, and I do not think that it's a viable way forward. So yeah, that's a fairly major like revelation for somebody who is almost 40, and you realize that the system around you is really, it's not equipped to deal with something like a global climate crisis.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree with you. I remember covering the topic in your course, Marketing for the Climate. There was also a big part about economics, which is interesting in combination with marketing, but it just all works together somehow. So you have to include those things. And once you start thinking about that, about what could be wrong with the system itself, you just can't stop. It's really interesting. And at the same time, I also had the course Sustainable Economics 2, which was focusing on history of capitalism. And there we also covered all of these topics. And thinking about concepts like degrowth, or Kate Raworth's concepts of new ways of economic measurements, those are just things that make so much sense once you get deeper into the material. So that was really life-changing for me as well, I would say. And so in the last semester you had with the course, because around your course, you have also created the CO2 Must Go Action Group, so to say, which includes all the projects you have done with students. And you also established some channels like social media channels and a website where students can share their project. Could you give us a little overview of the recent projects that you have been doing last semester?
Yeah, so CO2 Must Go was this kind of umbrella brand that we create to have like a brand to communicate with the outside world. So we built a website, we built some Instagram accounts and Twitter accounts, and I guess originally I thought this might grow into some sort of real world organization, like maybe a non-profit. I think I have changed my mind on this somewhat, because maybe now is not a time to start from scratch and build new organizations, but rather maybe the best way forward is to use the existing institutions and join people who are already kind of in this fight since a long time ago. So I'm not sure about the future of this brand or this organization, but it was a way of us kind of putting all the work that the students have been doing in one place. In this last semester, we continued the effort to make the idea of one meat-free day on campus more popular, right? So we had people building social media campaigns, and also running surveys asking students questions on campus, because I feel strongly that universities are exactly this type of environment where things should be possible that are not possible in the outside world, where you have to, you know, worry about financing and staffing and so on. So what I was trying to do was get the students to think about the university and think about their classmates and people that they meet, and yes, see what they can organize, what kind of campaigns would be possible. So another group looked into the plastic waste that is generated and what people's attitudes towards maybe more recycling are. But yeah, like underneath all this, like I have this insecurity because I feel it's all kind of surface level and we're still playing within the system that that is here, which is ultimately not, you know, not gonna make the change. But already if the students have this experience of connecting with the real world around these topics, that's already a great first step. So in the last few semesters that I've taught this, I create this format for homeworks where students would have conversations on these difficult topics with their friends or families. And this has really been a big success because it turns out that, you know, topics like climate change are not being discussed even in families, even between siblings, for example, right? So a lot of people reacted to say that, you know, it was great for them to talk to their brother for the first time, you know, about something like capitalism or you know, mental health was also one of these topics which is very important within this context. So I don't know if that answered the question. Mm-hmm.
No, definitely. Those were some interesting insights. And I totally know what you mean by saying that those are just superficial actions, but those are still the things that count, I believe. I mean, we can all just act in our near surroundings, and teaching is always a good option, I would say. And especially at WU in the marketing specializations, this is the only course like that I came across. The normal marketing courses are all very classic, like how to sell things, how to get into people's minds, to, you know, get them to do what you want them to do. And I feel it's not the only way that marketing can work. I think we can really use it to do good, use the things we know from marketing research, for example, to nudge people towards behaving better, for example. So yeah, and what do you think are the most important marketing instruments or techniques that we can take from marketing research or marketing psychology to use in order to make this world a little better and to conquer climate change?
What I would say is that marketing is a tool, or it's a set of tools, right? The real question is, what are your goals? This is really why I thought, okay, even if, you know, the course that I'm teaching, it didn't really teach many marketing skills, I would say, because yeah, again, I'm not the expert, but yeah, maybe it helped the students to start thinking about these issues in a different way and start connecting with the people around them around these topics. So whatever tool that you grab from this marketing toolbox is fair game and can be useful. It really depends on what you're trying to achieve. So whether it's, you know, doing market research, actually asking people what they think is very powerful, and I think yeah, should be done much more, and should be the politics need to pay attention to that. So yeah, it doesn't matter which tool, whatever works.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And like you said, I mean, for you, it was Greta Thunberg and her words influencing your action. So I think words and communication is very powerful. And I feel like we can use all the channels that we have nowadays, social media, websites, like you also do in your course with the students, to really get those ideas out there and just raise some awareness for the topic.
I would here argue for just talking to people, you know, like I know we've just spent 2 years in this pandemic lockdown, more or less, and the internet proved to be amazing in the way that it allowed us to stay in touch and, you know, keep working and so on. But on the other hand, this, for example, the experience that my students had with the real life conversations, I think it just reminded me how cool it is to find the time and to just talk to another person. I would argue to put more emphasis on the real conversations.
Yes, definitely, absolutely. So what do you think will be the most important changes in the next decades that need to be done in order to conquer climate change and to somehow do a little better? I know it's a very difficult question and politics don't know the answer either, I think. But for you personally, what are the steps that also some of us could just take in our private environments?
Yeah, it's a big question. I think what was already happening before the pandemic, what you could see was this broad consciousness and this engagement of people. So the protests in the streets were already big, and I'm hoping that we will be able to restart this kind of these kinds of events when it gets a little warmer. The main change that needs to come is this level of awareness, right? And then people are extremely creative, and you know, especially in times of a crisis, I would say, when you know, your options seem the most limited, I expect there to be new ideas coming up even more, right? So my favorite topic that I'm now pursuing, that I would like everyone to learn about, is how money works and how it is that the state can finance itself, right? So there's lots of misconceptions around these topics. And the way I understand the government budgeting now through the lens of this modern monetary theory is something that just opens all this new possibility for things that we could be doing. So I expect this to really become a part of the mainstream, and this will dramatically increase our options in terms of what we could achieve together. Because now we are still operating in the old world, where every time we want to do something create a major push for renewable energy, the first question that you will get is, who's going to pay for this, right? And what we are now learning, what we should have learned decades ago, but, you know, there's various reasons why we have not learned this lesson. But now we understand how money works, and now we understand that we can actually finance whatever it is that we find the resources for. So it's not the virtual accounts that we all have in banks, or that the government is running that limit us. It's really the resources that we have. So how many people can we get to work on this? Are there natural resources? Is there enough time, right? Like, those are the real limitations of what we can do. And once you realize that, it's like, yeah, everything is open. All the possibilities are out there.
Totally. That's a very interesting topic as well. So yeah, those were many interesting thoughts. Maybe to finish, is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners?
So I don't really know your listeners, but yeah, I assume it's people like you. And yeah, I think what I like is what Douglas Rushkoff this author and podcaster, he likes to say that you should always look for the others. So find the others, you know, people who also have the same interests, and there's lots of them, you know. And we are in a crisis, which is scary, and it's gonna get scarier. But there's lots of people who are realizing this, and we can do so much to make this better. So
definitely, that's a very nice thought. I think together we can always make a change. And I'm still hopeful, and I think you're too. So that's a good point to start. So thank you so much for taking the time and all the amazing learnings you brought today.
Thanks, Marlena.
So that's it for today, guys. Definitely make sure to subscribe to Oikast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to never miss an episode. And I hope to hear you soon. Bye.